It's great to see you, church. Thank you very much for making the decision to worship our Heavenly Father today. And thank you for making the decision to do it at the Isaiah City Church. We're so excited that you're here. We're so excited that we have the opportunity today to study another wow moment in Scripture. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do, I'm very thankful that we're able to have Cameron and Brooklyn with us today. It's great to see you, ladies. We're thankful for your recovery. We continue to pray for Chloe, but very scary moment just a week or so ago when they were involved in a very serious automobile accident, spent some time in the hospital, but we're thankful they're here today. And so keep praying for them and pray for all of our children as they get on these roads. This is a very scary road. Moffitt Road is just a very busy road, and certainly we want to keep praying for them, for our children, for those who put themselves out in that, ourselves as well, right? There's just awful things going on around us, and some of it, a lot of it's out of our control. But I'm glad that everybody's here. Again, I'm glad we've had this opportunity today to come to a place that I know is a lot of friendly faces. Faces that we are not perfect, but we are striving to be in a perfect place. And I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without that blood, we are lost. We are hopeless, and we're not able to be here. But in order to get Jesus to the cross, there are certain things that had to happen in life. And that was Jesus going through temptation. And let me just talk to you for a moment about why this is a wow moment. And this is going to deal with the temptation of Jesus Christ. For me, this is a wow moment because it reminds us that Jesus could sin. There are people that get in their mindset that Jesus could not sin. Well, see, that would not have made Jesus a perfect sacrifice if he was just protected by God and nothing ever was going to happen to him. Then that wouldn't have made it him to be able to overcome Satan and overcome temptation. Jesus could have sinned. Jesus was, yes, he was God in the flesh, but he was also human. And because he was human, he faced desires and he faced consequence and he faced temptation. If he were to give in to those sin, of course, there would be consequence and there would be it would have messed up God's perfect plan. So it's a wow moment because even though we know Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, I think sometimes we forget because he was perfect that he was perfectly capable of giving in to these temptations, but he didn't. And to me, that's a wow moment. And so that is one reason. Another reason is if you dig into this, what does Jesus overcome? Well, he overcomes every aspect of temptation there's going to be in these three temptations. First of all, he overcomes internal desire. And you think about us. Internally, the devil tempts us, right? In our minds, in our hearts, there are certain things that he attacks and he puts in the water and he places in our path that we will desire. And so Jesus overcomes that internal desire. And then there are outside worldly desires that we might be able to look out and see and want and have. Well, Jesus overcomes those worldly desires as well. And then, of course, there is a spiritual desire, a spiritual battle going on for the soul. And so Jesus also overcomes that. And so really, in this one moment of temptation of Jesus Christ, he overcomes all the types of temptations the devil can throw our way. And to me, that is amazing. That is wow. That is epic when it comes to seeing this in Scripture. You know, as a father and you as parents or grandparents or aunts, uncles, whatever, whenever you've had children in your care, you when they're little and they're going to get into something they're not supposed to get into, what do we tell them? Don't touch that. But what do they want to do? They want to touch that. It's like, well, it's out there and I know this is bad for me or I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I've just got to touch it. I've got to have it. I've got to do this. And if we're not careful, that's how the devil does us. And again, we didn't put those things in their way to get them to do that, but Satan does. There are certain things in our lives that he throws our way, and we know, hey, we're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to give in, but I want it, and I desire it, and I've got to have it. And that's the way the devil works. He is evil. He is awful. He is a roaring lion, but I like to call him a roaring liar. He is coming after you and me, and he's telling us it's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Just do it. You're not going to die. You're not going to get sick. You're going to live forever. But we know in reality that the further we can be away from sin, the better. That's why it's important to be together on the first day of the week and worship our Father. It is certainly a command of God. He desires that we come together and worship, but it's also just a good thing to do. It is good for us to come together, devote ourselves, build our strength, come back in the middle of the week, study our Bibles, pray, do the things necessary to be around as much good as possible. Because we are human people that make up, and we have in our makeup, a desire to give in to the devil. Don't touch. That's kind of the mentality. Well, in Jesus was not able to get away from this either. He was tempted. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 4, please. Matthew 4. Let's read this account together just to get our text in and be able to go from there. Matthew 4, beginning in 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." There's that worldly power, if you will. Jesus said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." There's that spiritual battle going on. The kingdom, all this will be yours. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. When I read that text, I ask myself the question, just the same question I want us to ask ourselves today, is why did the devil do this? Why did he do it? Well, the simple answer is because he wanted Jesus to fail. He wanted Jesus to fall. He wanted to win. He wanted to get back at God. He wanted to destroy his plan. But when you dig into it and you see it, it obviously tells us that he thought there was a chance. He thought that there was an opportunity for him, or he would not have wasted his time. Satan is very cunning. He's very crafty. He's very wise, unfortunately. And so we have to be on our best, in our best, doing our best, so that we can make sure we do not give in to all the lies and temptation he's going to throw our way. Mark records in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. Now, there's a couple ways you can look at that. We can look at it as the three temptations, or we can look at it that for 40 straight days, Satan came after him. I don't know what is the right answer. I'm going to tend to the three occasions here. But again, I don't know all the majesty of God. And I do not certainly know how all of this transpired. But what I do know is he overcame those three temptations in this 40 days. But what if for 40 straight days he came after him? It would make this an even more remarkable moment, because the devil comes after us day after day as well, doesn't he? And when's he come after us? At our strongest? No, not usually. At our weakest. At a vulnerable time. At a time when He thinks He can win. And that's what He did with Jesus. Here's the good news. He didn't win. He didn't get Jesus to give in. Jesus overcame the devil. He defeated the devil on this occasion and every occasion that ever came to be after that. He wasn't afraid of Satan by any means. In fact, he was more like, bring it on. You know, I said before, like Red Rover, you know, we all line up and we lock arms and arms in the church. And instead of being afraid of the devil, we're like, hey, bring it on, Satan, because you can't get through our wall. You can't get through my heart. You can't get to my soul. Because Jesus Christ was able to overcome, so can I. That must be our mentality. Jesus was not afraid. He accepted the challenge and He defeated the devil. We should not be afraid either. Jesus had the faith to overcome and we need to have the faith to overcome as well. In order to look at this lesson and draw lessons out of it for ourselves, this wow moment in Scripture, I want us to understand some truths. Some of these are not encouraging at first, but in the end, we're going to see there's a lot of truth in everything that happened and we're going to say today. The closer to God, number one, the craftier the devil. And you know, that's something that can be very scary. I want you to look at verse 1 again in chapter 4 here, and it says the word then. You know, if you understand the English language, and I know we all do, but that's telling us right after something happened, this occurred. And so we need to look back and see what happened before this. Well, if you look back and see what happened before this, Jesus Christ in Matthew 3, verse 13, He came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by Him. And John tried to prevent Him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the devil led him out to the will, or the Spirit took him out of the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You see, Jesus before this was doing something very pleasing to God. Again, I told you last week, there are two times in Scripture that God calls down from heaven to Jesus in this public manner. And one of them is the transfiguration that we talked about. And the other one is right here at the baptism. You see, this was something very pleasing to God. This was something very much required by God of Jesus. Again, it was to fulfill all righteousness, not to wash away his sins. But we are to do the same as Jesus today. And when we do that, what do we tell people? Well, get ready because the devil's coming. He's coming after you. Now, he's going to come when we're close to God, but he's going to come when we're in a weak moment and still close to God. Because what did Jesus do during this time? He fasted. He was weak. He was tired during all this, and the devil comes after him. The devil didn't care how close he was to God. He doesn't care how close you are. He might be coming after you right now, even in this room, in the presence of God. That's how powerful, unfortunately, he can be. He can use people. He can use thoughts. He can use devices. He can use all kinds of situations and things to be able to try to get us to stumble. And here's the real tricky part. Somebody sitting next to you might not struggle with the things that you struggle with. And he knows what your strengths are, and he knows what your weaknesses are. And so he's going to use that to your to my disadvantage. And we need to be ready. Think about this. He didn't care about David. David was a man after God's own heart. So, very innocently, I do not think Bathsheba went out on her roof at night to bathe so that she could have an affair with King David. So he used a very innocent moment, a moment when a lady was trying to cleanse herself, to go after a man after God's own heart. What about Adam and Eve? They were in paradise. They were married. Things were great. You can have everything that you see except for one thing. And the devil went to work on that. What about Noah? Noah is somebody we talk about in vacation Bible schools, right? In Bible classes. Noah was a great man of God in a time when the whole world was evil thoughts continuously. Noah found grace in the sight of God. So he asked Noah to build an ark because he was going to flood the world and baptize the world, quote unquote, if you will. He was going to get rid of it. He said, but Noah, everybody you get in that ark, they'll be safe. So Noah gets his family in the ark. Things are great. Afterwards, he builds an altar. He worships right when he gets off the boat. Great things are happening. He's close to God. God says he's so pleased with it that he's going to put a rainbow in the sky. And this rainbow will be a promise. I would guess you probably couldn't be any closer to God than Noah was at that moment in time. But then Noah goes and buys a vineyard. These are the parts we don't tell at Vacation Bible School, right? He goes and buys a vineyard. And he takes the grapes and the wine from that vineyard. And he drinks and he drinks and he drinks and he gets drunk. And then something very shameful happens. And we have the devil there rearing his ugly head. You see, when we think about life, when people, and we look through Scripture, when people were close to God, today is the first day of the week, and I'd like to tell you that because we worshiped, because we have our children come up and give, because we gave, because we partook of the Lord's Supper together, because we said prayers, because we read the Bible, because we went to Bible class, because we're trying to do things the right way, I'd love to tell you that Satan's not coming after you today, but I can't promise you that. You may walk out these doors and he may attack you instantly. That's why we've got to be ready. That's why we've got to be on the lookout. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. That's sex. People having sex outside the marriage bond. Nor idolaters. That's anything before God, right? Nor adulterers. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, and such were some of you. Now, when I think about that verse, that's not 2018, but it sounds a lot like it, doesn't it? When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and by the way, he is writing to a church where all these people went. Isn't it amazing to know what the blood of Jesus can do? But when I think about that, he's not talking about the world outside. He's talking about the church. And I'd love to tell you that just because you're part of the church, because you put God first, excuse me, the devil's not coming after you. But if I did that, I'd be a liar. You see, the devil, thank you. The devil doesn't want those who he already has, does he? He wants those who are saved. The devil doesn't want those that are already sinning and already living a life that's going to get us to hell. He wants to get back at God. Satan knows where he's going. He knows where he will end up. in order to get back at God, all he can do is take you and me away. That means he might split up families, he might split up relationships, best friends, whatever it may be, church, family. He doesn't care. He's ruthless. He's crafty. And he's coming. So what does it mean? It means we need to get closer to God. Closer to one another. Closer to the cross. Secondly, we learn from this wow moment in Scripture. Number two, don't be perplexed when temptation comes. Be prepared. Obviously, you see, I'm trying to alliterate these words and so that you can remember them. But here's the bottom of it. Don't be surprised that the devil's going to tempt you. But be prepared. I do not know what's gotten into my throat. Hang on just one second. Sorry. If you go back to Matthew 4, verses 2 through 7, we see that Jesus was not surprised the devil was coming, right? Look at verse 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. The tempter came to him, but Jesus didn't say, "Whoa, there's the tempter. Shocking. I'm surprised to see you, Satan." He wasn't surprised. He was prepared. He was ready. So why can't we be ready? Why can't we understand that, hey, he's coming, so I've got to be prepared? You know, there are a lot of people that are here today, but there are a lot of people that aren't here today. Why would we not come to worship? Well, there are a lot of reasons, probably. But where the rubber meets the road is we're not really ready or interested in getting closer to God. If I'm going to keep choosing to... I understand things come up, folks. I'm saying those who forsake the assembly, okay? If I decide today I'm not going to worship God, if I decide tomorrow I'm not going to take up my cross and follow Him, and Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth, then the bottom line is, I'm really telling Satan, come on and get me. How many of you, if you knew a tornado was coming through your backyard, you would say, I'm just going to stay in my house and ride it out? You wouldn't. You'd seek shelter. You'd seek protection. How many of us, if we knew, if we could see in the future and knew that our child was going to get in a vehicle and get into an automobile accident, how many of us would be like, good luck, wear your seatbelt? How many of us, if we knew that doing something to our bodies, you know, you think about those, but before we understood lung cancer and all that, think about the people that smoked cigarettes. They didn't know, right? They just kept putting these things in there. But when we have knowledge, why would we keep on doing these things? Why would we put our child in that car? Why would we stand and face that tornado? We wouldn't. Why would we go into a battle against Satan unprepared? He's more dangerous than anything we can imagine. Jesus was not perplexed. He was prepared. He said, turn the stones to bread. Luke wrote that Jesus had eaten nothing. Okay, 40 days, 40 nights, he had eaten nothing. Jesus, here in Matthew's account, it says by Matthew, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I have often said, and you've heard me say it, I believe that's the biggest understatement in all the Bible. 40 days, 40 nights, he'd eaten nothing. He was starving. And so what does Satan do? He says, take those rocks, and you know how I like to use this illustration, you've heard me use it before, and turn it into the most hot, melt in your mouth, tight bread where you've got the butter and you just baptize it in the butter and it's running all down. And, you know, some of you are hungry right now for it. You can picture it. Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't say, look at those rocks and turn them into some old hard stale bread, right? He said, turn it into the best. Turn it into bread that you can devour and fill your body with right now. But Jesus said, uh-uh. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, in order to get to that moment and wow us today, He had to be prepared. That's why He fasted 40 days, is to get His mind ready, to get His mind right, to make sure He was empty so He could rely on the Father to give Him strength. What are we emptying out of our lives today to prepare ourselves? What are we ridding ourselves of today to be ready to meet the devil one-on-one and to defeat him? Don't be perplexed. Don't be surprised. Be prepared. Ephesians 6, turn over there real quick if you will. You know this story, right? Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Here's what the apostle said. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen to what Satan tempted Jesus with. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Today, if we leave here without the whole armor of God on, we're not prepared. If you came into here without the whole armor of God on, you're not prepared. The devil's coming. The closer we are to God, the craftier he gets. So don't be perplexed, be prepared. And then finally, this morning, know God and say no to Satan. Matthew 4 and 8 through 11. Once Satan takes him up on this mountain, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus had had enough. He said, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. He had said, enough is enough. I've given you your time. Again, I don't know if it was 40 straight days of temptation or what, but here's what I do know. He got to a point when he said, get away. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of this lie. I've had enough of your nonsense. Get behind me. Get away from me. Get lost. We've got to have the same strength to do that. The question is how do we get it? The simple answer is knowing that God's in control and allowing God to be in control. But I'm going to give you a better, longer answer from James chapter 4, 7 through 10. Here's what James said. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Here they are. Number one, how do I say no to Satan? How do I say get behind me, Satan? How do I say get lost, Satan? First of all, I've got to submit to God. Why would I wait till tomorrow? You know, Pharaoh had the chance to get rid of all those frogs. When do you want to do it? Tomorrow. I need to submit my life to God today. In just a few moments, literally, Steve will lead us in a song that will allow us the opportunity to say, I've been away. I've been in Satan's control. I didn't worship Satan per se, but I didn't put God first. We'll have an opportunity to say, hey, I'm tired of walking in sin. I'm tired of walking in darkness. I'm ready to submit my life to God. I need my sins washed away. How do I do that? I get immersed in water. I get baptized. I fulfill, like Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, I fulfill what's right in the sight of God. I submit my life to Him. And I say, God, I'm yours. That's what James said. That's what the Bible says. That's what God wants us to understand. Give Christ your broken life. Number two, once we do that, it gives us confidence to resist the devil. That's what he said, submit to God. And what does that do? It gives you the strength. It gives you the confidence to say, go away. You see, when you come up out of the water, you were as strong as you've probably ever been in Christ at that moment. Well, first of all, that's the first time you've been in Christ, but that strength is like none. Like, you can remember your baptism today. You can remember how you felt. But what happens? The more we walk, the more the devil comes. So what do we need to do after that? We need to become closer. Draw me nearer, still nearer, dear Lord. We need to be close to God. He said in this scripture, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. The closer I am to God, the stronger I am. Fourthly, He said then, be clean, be joyful. Live a clean life. Live a life where you get rid of the impurity. Listen, we live in a cursed world. We live in an imperfect world. We live in an impure world. But let's not take in more of that impurity than absolutely necessary. You know, I can't control everybody around me. I can't control, you know, if I go to line at Walmart, I can't control the guy using bad language, but I can control what comes on my radio. I can control what comes in my device. I can control what comes on my TV. Those things we have control over. And then finally, he says, be humble. Don't be proud. Don't be full of pride. That's what Satan wants. He wants selfishness. He wants selfish desire. We're enticed by our own lust, by our own desires. God wants humility. Here I am. Here I am, God. Take control. As we get ready to close, I want to ask you, do you know He's coming? Satan's coming. He is. Again, don't be perplexed about that. Be prepared. The closer I am to God, the craftier He is. But when I know God and really know God, it helps me be able to say no to Satan for good. You see, Jesus kept resisting. Satan even got Him on a cross. He even got Him in a tomb. But Jesus overcame. Can you imagine the attitude of Satan when the Son of God lay dead? When God in the flesh lay dead in a tomb? I put Him there. Death came into the world because of sin. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is dead. But Jesus came back to life. Jesus resurrected Himself. God resurrected Himself. And it crushed the head of the serpent for all. today, the way of the cross is the way to the crown. Submit to the cross and do it right now together. We stand and sing.